This is Pastor Mike Eccleston speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles, open up to the book of John chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2. John chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2. Most everything we're going to cover here this morning should be repetitious from what you already know, but if not, you never know. There may be somebody that you've read these passages many times and the Lord never really spoke to your heart, and all of a sudden the light will go on and you'll realize, number one, either that you're lost or that you never really understood what this was speaking about. So, John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's straight across the page, if you've got the same Bible I do. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. All right? Luke chapter 2. Begin in verse 11. And then we'll read through verse 14. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We're not here to examine a book about your word. We're not here to examine what some people have thought your word said and revised your word. We're here to examine your word. We thank you for it. We pray that you'd bless it to our spiritual understanding. There is no question that the Lord Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man. And the birth was miraculous. We're grateful for that. To have someone that was maybe a little supernatural but yet not perfect deity would mean that he could never pay for our sin. And we would all be doomed to hell. And so we're here this morning examining your word, not to criticize it or critique it, but to allow it to have the final authority of our lives. So speak to our hearts this morning. Again, if anybody's without Christ as Savior, this is the morning, this is the day that they should place their trust in Him for their eternal salvation. We have this service. We may not have all of it. And so whatever is about to happen ought to happen immediately. And we pray that it would. Speak to every heart. Both here and with the children as well. And may your will be accomplished in all that we do here today, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we read John 1 and 1:14 so that you understand that who is being born. We know from Isaiah 6:9-6 that the birth was fully God, fully man. I mean, God wasn't born, so the child had to be born. And in his humanity, this is what this speaks about, and deity. You can't separate the two, even though he does in the book of John. But understand, he never ceases to be fully God, and yet fully Christ. I take issue with people that try to reduce Christ to just a mere man, and then think that a mere man could do anything for you other than what we could do for each other. And we're talking about eternal issues here. And no man can do what God can do through Christ. And so I don't know why we even bother. In Luke chapter 2, verse 14, even though I talked about verse 11, the birth of Christ, We read, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So the heavenly hosts praise God concerning the birth of Christ the Lord, and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Peace, that elusive ingredient the world longs for, but on their terms, and still cannot achieve. As a matter of fact, when you read that verse has actually never completely happened. And insofar as the earth is concerned, we have the history of the Jews, of the Israelites, first in bondage to the Egyptians, and then in the wilderness, and the Midianites, and then eventually the Philistines and the Assyrians, and I mean, we just go on, and then Babylon and Media Persia, Greece, and then Rome. And today, the entire Middle East is against them. Europe is against them. And probably much of the United States. We had a president before that was against them. Praise the Lord, he's not there anymore. Because you don't want to become the enemy of Israel. You know, you don't want to curse them, because we could wind up being cursed as well. But the peace that Israel seeks, the peace that the world seeks, is not going to happen apart from Christ. Just not going to happen. And then, secondarily, there's a peace that is neglected and almost given up on among many people in the Christian life, because the similarities are there. They are seeking peace in the flesh. And on their terms. And we're going to discuss some of that to some degree. But turn back to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. Much of what I'm going to speak about here this morning in context refers to Israel. By application, I believe that we can use these things to apply to us. And so that's what I'm going to do. So don't think that everything I'm going to read this morning applies only to Israel. If there is something, then I will be the first one to tell you. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." When that promise was given, Israel was in a very, very spiritually dark state. And their history was much like a roller coaster. But they never seem to get out of the darkness. And, you know, they're still in the darkness. I believe, by application, that this verse is crucial to us, we the believers in this church age, especially when perplexed by doubt and fear and worry, even despair. This is an easy verse to read if all things are going well. But we read it superficially. I mean, if I'm doing good physically, if I'm doing good spiritually in my own mind, this is an easy verse. "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." And so we think, well, my mind must be stayed on him. So, you know, I'm doing well and I'm not sick. You know, my health is good. My spirit is good, blah, blah, blah. And a lot of times the opposite is true. Just the opposite. The words of the promise are still in reach. And they're still relevant. Even if nothing is going right. And that's important. Can anybody tell me where the chapter and verse is in the Word of God that tells us that we will be free from trouble? Or trials? Or temptations? Or tears? Or sorrow? Be sure to tell me, because I don't know where that is. But it does say that we can be victorious and have peace in our mind and our hearts in the midst of war, of trouble, of tribulation, not the tribulation. And yet, this promise was rejected by Israel. Look in chapter 30, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, In returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And ye would not. What a horrible thing to do, to reject a perfect peace that comes from God. But they did. And you can see the results even today. So go with me to Romans chapter 5. I'm going to start here. I have a few in the Old Testament, a few in the New. Romans chapter 5. And we'll look at verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll get into justification in a little bit. So, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that peace conditional or unconditional? If you're justified by faith because you've received Christ as your Savior, we have peace with God. That's unconditional. And it's an important thing to know, because there are people that think, no, that's conditional. No, it's not. The fellow that was doing the Bible study from jail wanted to teach me that security is conditional. Well, human security might be conditional. The security of our church is certainly conditional. We left the church yesterday after we were here, and I did the normal thing. I put my hand on the front and heard the cylinder moving, so I thought, and the music came on telling me, all is well, your church is secure. And we came to church this morning, and I put my hand on the thing, and it's supposed to open, and the music played, but there was no movement of the cylinder. And so I put the handle down, the door was wide open. The door never locked, the cylinder never came. So we left thinking the church was secure, and really it wasn't secure at all. Right? So there's a difference here. If we're justified by faith, we have the assurance that the cylinder closed. And it's not conditional. It's unconditional. All right? Now, there's other kinds of peace. And let me get these out of the way. Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26. Again, reference to Israel. And I'm not going to make any application other than this is how the Lord dealt with Israel. Look at verse 3, Leviticus 26:3. If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then there follows that then I will do certain things. And down to verse 6. And I will give peace in the land. Not the heart, in the land. Remember, Israel, the guarantees to Israel were all of the earth. And ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. All of that is a conditional promise that is yet to be, you know, absolutely confirmed. Proverbs chapter 16. Here's another one. Proverbs chapter 16. Let me know if I'm going too fast, because then I'll pick up speed. Proverbs chapter 16. And let's look down here in verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. That is also conditional. A lot of people don't have friends because they won't make friends. But when our ways please the Lord, guess what? Even the people that can't stand us will be at peace with us. I mean, that's a promise, but it's a conditional one. All right, Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8. Bob went through the book of Zechariah in the Sunday school. There was a verse that I picked up on in chapter 8 that I just thought was really good, and so I'm going to use it this morning. Zechariah chapter 8, look at verse 19. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, And the fast of the tenth shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feast. And now look at this phrase. Therefore, love the truth and peace. We as professing people of God through Christ as our Savior are a people who ought to love the truth and love peace. That's what kind of bothers me about people that will ignore God's peace and say, I don't want it. Or God's truth and say, well, everything is truth. No, it's not. We have God's truth here. All right? You can depend on this more than you can depend on anything else, because everything else comes short. So I want to look at the peace, first of all, that's offered. It says, that will keep him in perfect peace, in Isaiah 26:3. How do you define perfect peace? A peace that is absolutely perfect. How can you possibly define that? I'm going to take a couple of stabs. It's a freedom from disturbances within our soul. It is a perfect harmony that reigns within us, free from any discord. I think the definition is even more complex than that. We had a memory verse this morning, chapter 2, verse 7. And it talked about Mary giving birth to the Lord, wrapping in swaddling clothes, and laying him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. All right. Perfect peace has no room for envy, jealousy, discontentment, selfishness, pride, prejudice, jealousy, harsh criticism, fear, anxiety. It has no room for any of that. No room whatsoever. Why? Because they're discordant notes. There can't be. You can pick it up on a piano or any musical instrument. You can pick it up when we sing. There will be bursts or outbursts of discordant notes. But perfect peace has none of that. None whatsoever. The disciples were out on the Sea of Galilee. A storm came up, as often does on the Sea of Galilee. They thought they were going to die. And so he stands on the side of the boat and he says, peace, be still. And the wind stopped and the waters became calm. You know, only the Lord Jesus Christ could do that. But what did he say? Peace, be still. Now listen, in the most anxious of times, these are words you need to apply to you. Peace. Because there isn't peace, there's discordance. Be still. Several years ago, we were down in an attorney's office, and there were some things that were being said, and I was really getting upset. And so I said something to the attorney, and he says, oh, no, you don't say that. And so we left, and we were on the way home. We decided we'd stop and eat at a place. And my heart was just beating like it's never beat before. I mean, it's not that it was out of rhythm. It was just racing, and it was hurting. And so it continued through Friday night. And we came over to church. I told Micah that if this keeps up, then I'm probably not going to be able to be here tomorrow. I called the doctor. He said, it's probably stress. I said, okay. And so I just laid down. It wasn't stopping. And then it's like the Holy Spirit just told me, hey, stand still. And not these words, peace be still, but be still and know that I am God. It's like they just came. And I just laid there, and it continued through the night, and the next day it was gone. I was doing what I shouldn't do, and then I did what I should do. And the Lord did for me what I couldn't do myself. Because humanly speaking, there is no way for me to solve that particular issue. And still there isn't. All right? So listen, there's lots of imperfect pieces out there. And I'm going to list a couple of them. There's the imperfect piece of ignorance. You and I can think, or we can be persuaded by somebody else, that we're okay when we're not. Or we can be deceived by Satan into thinking that everything is going well when it's not. Think of the people think of the multitudes of people that are enslaved by false religion today. And are being told that they're okay, when spiritually they're not. Not according to Scripture. And the cults. And the people that are on drugs. And the people that are immoral. And they're being told by other people, you're okay. And they're not. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 14 says, they, referring to the prophets, false prophets and the priests, have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And Jeremiah fought that battle with those false prophets all the time. They said, you're making this up. God is not going to judge us because we are God's people. We have the sacrifices. We have the temple. And guess what? He judged them. And there was no peace. And Jeremiah was right. You know, you need the knowledge of the truth. That's a necessity if you're going to have peace. You can't make this up. And yet we do. Secondly, there's the imperfect peace of stagnation. Isaiah 57. Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57. Look at verse 14. And you shall say, I'll read verse 13. When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee. But the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them. But he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. And shall say, cast thee up, prepare the way. Take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. You can go out back here. The pond's starting to fill up again. Not as much as normal. But you can go to the back of our house and you can look at the pond. This morning it was very calm. I mean, there was no wind whatsoever. And to look at, calm, peaceful looking, but underneath there is foul, green, bacteria-filled scum. All it takes is to stir up the people is God's judgment. And when God's judgment falls, then the people realize we didn't have any peace at all. We thought we were in peace. We were told that we were. We were told we're okay. But no, we were just stagnating. Stagnation is not God's perfect peace. The imperfect peace of dependence. In other words, this peace is dependent on something or someone in this present world. Now, they may fail, or it may fail, and they may die. And what are you left with? In Bible college, we had a president who was revered, almost idolized, which is a major flaw. And we were out in Montana when this happened, at our church going, and then I think we read about it in the papers, that he ran off with a young girl. And do you know how many people fell with him? You know how many people failed because of him? You know why? Because their faith was in a man. It was, you know, he could do no wrong. He had all the answers. There was nothing that he could do was wrong. You can't, that is an imperfect peace when you put your trust in a man. I mean, when we first got to town, we looked at was it a garage sale? We were somewhere. Somebody had moved down from New Smyrna so that they could be next to somebody who preached here in town. Because he's like the Messiah. Really? I thought we only had one Messiah. I thought we only had one Savior. And when that thing or people fail, then all they're left with is imperfectness. And oftentimes they fail. All right, so this piece is perfect in quantity. As far as, I don't usually do outlines. First of all, it was first in quality. But now it's perfect in quantity. The supply of perfect peace is all sufficient and meets every need. I mean, we're dealing with a perfect book, aren't we? We're dealing with a perfect Savior and a perfect God, aren't we? All right? And we know that they're all sufficient. We read that they're all sufficient. We surmise they're all sufficient. Well, now let's put this to practice. God's perfect peace is all sufficient and meets every need. Do you have a need that you have not met? And you say, well, that's outside the boundary. No, you're outside the boundary. Because God's perfect peace meets our need. We learn that according to Philippians 4:7, that the peace of God will keep our heart and mind through Christ Jesus our Lord. So I look and I say, you know, God's perfect peace is a double peace. It guards our heart it guards our heart and calms our mind. Again, I can't do that. You can't do that. God's Word can do that. Right? Back in Romans 5:1, you don't need to turn there. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? That peace with God is impossible unless we're justified by faith in Christ. Not faith plus works. Not faith plus anything else. Faith in what Christ has done. You must make your peace with God before you can have this perfect peace. Any peace, basically. You have to understand your great need to be saved and fall upon Christ as your Savior to know that you are the recipient of peace with God and understand that that peace is a perfect peace. Secondly, in Philippians chapter 4, again, very familiar passages, but very important to understanding where we are insofar as peace goes, especially in light of the fact that there's so few people that have it. Philippians chapter 4, speaking to saved people, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That peace, nobody can understand the how or the why. You handle your trials, your testings, your sorrows, your temptations the way you do. You know what? There's no human answer. You can't give one. This is what happens because your trust is in Him. All right, so it's perfect in quality, it's perfect in quantity, and it's perfect as to consistent. Psalm 121. Psalm chapter 121. And let's look down here, beginning in, when I get there, verse 4. Psalm 121, verse 4. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. God's peace is consistent. Now, again, this is referring to Israel. But do you believe God's peace is inconsistent in the Christian life in the church age? No, it's consistent. We may be inconsistent, but His peace is not. When I grew up, assuming I grew up, the cars that were on the market had windshield wipers that had two speeds. It turned on, regular, and then it went to super, you know, whatever. And so therefore, when you did either one of them, the windshield wipers ran all the time that you had that lever on. Today, the vehicles are made with intermittent wipers. You can put your switch up and it'll do one time, or you can turn a little dial and you can go every 5 seconds or 10 seconds or 20 seconds, whatever you want to do. So, but it's never on all the time. All right? God's perfect peace works all the time. It's not an intermittent one. It's, you just don't dial it. Say, well, I don't want God's perfect peace right now. Let's go for 20 days. And then after that, no, this is all the time. God's perfect peace keeps us in that perfect peace. Take Him at His word. Trust Him in all things at all times. And the only way you can do that is through the power of the Holy Spirit within you. It's the same as this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, what I'm about to say has no different interpretation than the peace of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. There are three verses in chapter 5, 16, 17, and 18. Rejoice evermore. Is there any time last week you didn't rejoice? It says evermore. Pray without ceasing. Was there any time during the week you did not pray? In everything, verse 18, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Do you realize that that is impossible in the flesh? Just as the peace of God that passes all understanding is impossible in the flesh. Or that perfect peace. We must have the working of the Holy Spirit for that to happen. That's critical. For that peace to work all the time. When do you yield to the Holy Spirit? What decision do you make that you yield to the Holy Spirit in? Is there any? Is there any consideration of Him at all in your life? Isn't He really the active part of everything you do in your life? Everywhere you go, everywhere you don't go, every thought? The only way I know to keep every thought into the obedience of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, because I don't have that. The flesh is incapable of doing that. Secondly, it is not only a peace that is offered, it's a peace that can be obtained. And I already read Philippians 4:7, by Christ, by the Lord Jesus Christ, and only through Christ. In Isaiah 57, verse 21, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked, to the lost. As they have not Christ as Savior, they're not saved. They cannot know the spiritual, they don't have the spiritual possession of peace. They only have the world. And the world can't find it. They make it up. You watch a commercial that deals with alcohol. What are these people doing? They are having a great time. It's so peaceful. It's so wonderful. How long does that last? Is it permanent? Of course not. Is it perfect? Absolutely not. It's not peace at all. It's a false peace. It's a delusion. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, that fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, and there's nine elements of that fruit, that is conveyed to our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot even produce love or joy or peace. And go through the whole list. You cannot do that. The Holy Spirit has to do it through you as you yield to Him. And that has to happen all the time. Psalm 119. 165. 119th Psalm, the 165th verse. I'm getting there. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they that love thy law. Where's the law found? In the word. Great peace have they that love thy word. Aren't we to be a people that love the word and love the truth? Where's the truth found? Right here. I think I have my person right. John Wesley was preaching somewhere in a church, and it must have been a series of meetings. And about the third meeting, he was preaching. When he was done, the same woman had been coming each time, and she said, "Mr. Wesley, I am offended at the strings of your tie. They're much too long." And he said, "Is that right?" And she said, "Yes, you need to cut them." So he said, "Has anybody got a pair of scissors?" And so somebody brought him a pair of scissors. And he said, "Here, you cut them to the satisfactory part." And so she did. He said, "Thank you." And he said, "You're welcome. But I want you to know that you have offended me." "What?" She says, "Your tongue is far too long. I think we should take the scissors and cut it, make it shorter." We live in a day where everybody's offended at everything. Everything. I mean everything. I've never seen a world so upset, and anybody that takes any stance for anything. Well, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Offend in the New Testament means to convince somebody to sin. It's not that, "Oh, your words hurt me. You called me this name, or you said this, that just hurts me so bad. Has that caused you to sin?" I mean, that's what offense means in the New Testament. But the Word of God, and then by prayer and thanksgiving, that peace can be secured by peace and thanksgiving. Again, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. So, go back to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26. This peace can be given through a very simple formula. And if you found Isaiah 26, also go to John 15. Okay? Just to shorten the time. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." All right, that's speaking about Christ in all and through all and by all. It has to do in the New Testament with this particular verse, John chapter 15, and look at verse 7. "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." You're having your mind stayed on Christ is exactly the same as abiding in Christ. As a matter of fact, abiding means stayed. It's amazing, isn't it, how it fits together. If ye are stayed on me, and my words are stayed on you, you can ask what you want. It also means continuous, and it means that it remains. So, I've spoken to people over the years, and I've heard of others who, because of one thing or another, and the circumstances don't matter, it's one thing or another, will not read their Bibles. They just won't do it, whether it's reading it regularly or at all. They refuse to allow the Lord to speak to them. I flat out refuse, whether it's going to church, consistency in church, having Christian friends that are like-minded, they just refuse to do that. That is not abiding. That is not having your mind stayed on Christ. That is not a continual peace. That is not a remaining peace. And therefore, it is not a perfect peace. if it's peace at all. Don't let those kind of people speak to you about the Christian life, because their peace is imperfect. And we've been given perfect peace. Somebody told me a long time ago, I believe it's true, don't ever go to a backslider for counsel, because they cannot teach you the truth. They'll teach you the truth according to their backsliding. You don't want to do that. You want to find somebody that's trying at least to live for the Christian life. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, on Christ. And then the second part, who trusteth in thee? Who trusteth in thee? To be absolutely confident in him. To be absolutely sure. To go to him and look to him for refuge when there are no answers. In salvation, we trust the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation. We trust his finished work, his shed blood, his death, his burial, his resurrection. We understand that he rose from the dead and he offers salvation to all, anyone, whosoever will come and receive him by faith as their Savior. Again, apart from any works. You may have been lucky. You may have been fortunate to grow up and not have that drilled into your head that, no, that's not enough. You need to do this, and you need to do that, and you need to be this, and you need to observe this in order to be saved. And then, in the end, you're never really sure. So, when I first heard the truth, I gauged the truth by all the error that my life was filled up with. That I want to know that. Not only did I want to do that, when I finally began to understand a little bit, I didn't think I could have that. Thanks to the error. Whosoever trusteth in thee. Peace isn't some experience. It's not a code of belief. It's not an it, however it may be designed. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ all day. All night, even in your sleep. When we have the bad dreams, you know what? It's not because we've kept the Lord in perfect peace through the day. Something has interfered with all of that, and it comes out in the dreams. There's a song in our hymn book, Like a River Glorious. I'm going to read the first stanza, part of the third, and the chorus. Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Over all victorious in his bright increase. Perfect, yet it floweth fuller every day. Perfect, yet it groweth deeper all the way. We may trust him fully, all for us to do. They who trust him wholly find him wholly true. Why do we not trust him? Because if we would trust him, we would find him absolutely true. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. You want the elusive peace that's out there in the world? It'll never happen. You want the peace that's offered by God? It's right here. First of all, in salvation, as you are justified by faith, we have peace with God, and the peace of God comes after that as we allow the Holy Spirit to rule, reign, guide, teach, instruct, lead in our lives and decisions, in all our steps, in all our thoughts, in all our ways. Am I talking about an absoluteness? No, because of this dumb flesh that we have. But at least if we know, we have a check of what we have and what we allow the flesh to take away. Stay with your mind on Christ. Trust him in all things in the Christian life. And if you're lost, receive him by faith as your Savior. you'll have what probably 99% of the entire world historically has never found or ever will apart from Christ. Let's pray. As you bow your heads and close your eyes here this morning, I would ask a very important question. How is it with your heart? Do you know Christ as Savior? Have you trusted Him as by faith as your Savior? If not, you can. The Bible talks about repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. There are no works involved. The work was all done by Christ. And He wants you to believe Him, to trust Him as your Savior. You can do that. You don't need to raise a hand. You don't need to walk an aisle. You don't need to say a prayer in a formal setting. But you do need to ask Him to save you. And what we do is we have an invitation. We ask that if you wanted to receive Christ, let somebody here help you. Not to build up a church, but to make sure of your salvation. There is no hidden agenda. We who are saved, how is it with our hearts? How is it with our minds? We have a consistent, pure, perfect peace that is available to us all the time. And yes, we fail. But we don't have to. And we shouldn't. Knowing that it's there, knowing that it's available. I could tell you that I put five $1,000 bills under the pews here. And it's available to whoever finds them. I doubt we could do anything spiritually here after I said that. But I guarantee you, most of you would go looking for them. Well, there's something much more than $1,000. This is a perfect peace. Are our bodies infirm? Are they weak? Are they sometimes sickly? Yes, as we age, we still have a perfect peace. Our country could get overthrown. Everything we do here today that's lawful could be unlawful in a heartbeat. Do we still have the opportunity to have a perfect peace? Absolutely. Read and study the people that have gone through the worst of times or are even going through the worst of times. And many times you'll see there's that perfect peace that keeps them because they're trusting the Lord. So if the Lord's speaking to your heart this morning, I just pray that you would, altar's open, you come to pray. There may be somebody here that's been saved, never followed in believer's baptism. It has nothing to do with your salvation, everything to do with your identification in Christ. Death, burial, resurrection. That's why we go under the water and come back up. Been visiting, still not a member. The invitation is still open to join in if we're people of like mind. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for offering to us that which we do not in any way conceivable way deserve. First in salvation, the peace that we have with Christ, and now a perfect peace. Done by a simple thing, trusting you, abiding in you all the time, seeing you in all the things we do, gauging everything that we do or don't do by your word, and allowing the Holy Spirit to have His way in our lives. I just pray that you would speak to our hearts as we have this invitation now, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area He is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in his finished work to pay the full debt of your sin. Please call us or write us or email us on this most important matter or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.